some place of the sun, to whirl and to dance till the white day is done.
Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and we're hearing the voice of six-time Tony Award winner Audra McDonald. Her most recent Tony was for her performance as the legendary jazz singer Billie Holiday in Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill. Her first Tony came in 1994 for her role in the production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel. Since that breakout performance, McDonald has appeared on both Broadway and opera stages and on film and television. The acclaimed singer and actress is coming to Brookings next Monday for a concert presented by Woodbine Productions. I spoke to Audra McDonald earlier this morning, and she told me she was feeling a little under the weather.
I'm a little sick, but that's okay. I'll be healthy by the time I get to South Dakota.
Well, yeah, I'm wondering about that. You had to cancel a concert last Friday because you weren't feeling that well. You didn't have much of a voice.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, for you as a singer, you know, how do you have to take care of your voice to make sure that it's always in the best possible condition?
Well, you do everything you possibly can, but I don't smoke, I don't drink a lot or anything like that. I'm, you know, very quiet unless I have to talk a lot, and I certainly take every sort of vitamin known to mankind. But with a winter as brutal as the one that we've had, and the illness that has just been flying all over the tri-state area here, and I can imagine in South Dakota there as well as around the country, getting sick is unavoidable. So you can do everything you can to sort of armor yourself against it. But when it does happen, that's actually, I think, when a lot of the care comes in, and that means recognizing how much you can get away with vocally and when to throw in the towel. And for me, having to cancel last week was just because I know I sound pretty froggy right now, but I had even less voice last week. So, you know, when it's just like it's impossible to make a sound, how am I going to sing Summertime when I can barely say two words, you know? So every once in a while, you just have to cancel because it's just impossible to make a sound.
Now, you're coming to Brookings, South Dakota on Monday. Now, that's quite a ways from the Broadway stage. How often do you get the chance to perform in smaller venues and smaller communities?
Quite a bit, actually. I tour all over the country, you know, so I've played, small venues all the time. I've played, you know, small auditoriums in colleges, and then I, you know, played large venues and Carnegie Hall, and, you know, so for me, it's no matter where or what I'm doing. Like I was a couple weeks ago, I was in Spain, actually. We're performing at the Teatro Real, where they do a lot of their operas. Large, beautiful opera house. But my goal is the same with every audience. It's having an intimate connection with me and the audience, and that's what's most important to me. So it doesn't matter the size of the venue. My job is to make sure that by the end of the night, you know, we have felt something together as audience and performer, as that they know more about me and who I am as an artist, and that hopefully I brought them to some sort of cathartic relief at the end of the evening. So that's my goal, no matter what the size of the venue.
Now, you recently portrayed the legendary jazz singer Billie Holiday in Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill. You won another Tony for that. Now, it's interesting because Billie Holiday had such a much smaller voice than you. I'm wondering how difficult it was for you to sing like Billie Holiday.
It was very difficult. It was, I researched it for 2 years and did a lot of workshops on the piece for 2 years. So I was constantly struggling to try and find her voice. And in the end, it was actually my late grandmother that led me to her voice, in that growing up as a kid, my sister and I used to love to imitate my grandmother's voice back to her, because she had a very singular sort of way of speaking. And we loved my grandmother, and she had 8 kids and 15, 16 grandchildren, and we just, you know, she was just an angel to us, and we would make her laugh and we'd imitate her voice back at her. And so I discovered that one day in listening to all of the Billie Holiday recordings, and that's just, you know, audio recordings of her speaking in interviews with, like, Mike Wallace or people like that, that her speaking voice was very similar to my Nana's. And so I thought, I wonder if I went be a Nana if I could find my way into Philly. And certainly it was worth a shot. And lo and behold, that's what led me to her. So by this little game that I used to play with my grandmother when I was younger, it was absolutely serving me in finding Billie Holiday for it.
I say I move the mountains, and I'll move the mountains if he wants them out of the way. Crazy he calls me, I'm crazy, crazy in love, I'd say.
Was there any danger at all in hurting your voice at all by singing more in the style of Billie Holiday?
Well, yes, I guess there could have been. And I will be honest that it took me a while to recuperate after playing the role for 7 months and to sort of find my own singing voice again, because I didn't do any other performing while I was doing the Billie Holiday role. I didn't do any other singing while I was doing it, so I was only singing like Billie Holiday. So it just took a while for my muscles to kind of go back to singing with Audra's voice. And, but I was very careful while I was doing the role. I still warmed up quite operatically every night before I went on stage. I would warm up my normal sort of operatic warm up, but then I would at the very end just sort of slip into her voice and her mannerisms of singing and speaking. So I tried to take care of my voice as much as I could, except for that hour and 45 minutes when I was being her.
Now, Audra McDonald, you're talking about your own voice. Do you remember when you were young, when you were starting out as a singer, when there was this moment when you realized, oh, this is my voice?
There was a moment when I realized this is what I want to do. Absolutely. I was about 9, and my parents had told me about this dinner theater that had a little singing and performing troupe that would sing and dance before a musical every night. And I auditioned, and I think within my first 2 or 3 weeks of performing with them, I knew that that was what I wanted to do, and that became my life, from the time I was 9 years old.
Did you know that you had a special gift?
Well, I remember my mother and father sort of having me match pitches one night at home. My dad had a regular piano, but we also had an organ. My dad had a jazz band, a high school jazz band, when he was a music teacher before he went on to become a principal at high school. But so he had like a jazz organ in the back room, and one night they just had me matching pitches, and I remember watching them look at each other and whisper amongst each other. And at the time, I didn't really know what was going on, but I knew it had something to do with the sound I was making. And my dad used to also get very embarrassed when I was even younger, and I sang in the church choir, the youth choir, that I was I was always the loudest singer. And I remember them joking about that. So that's when I became aware that my voice is something that people pay attention to. But it was more than that for me. It was about how I felt when I was performing. I felt good.
Now,
alive and me. I felt the most me.
Yeah, now you sing everything from opera to contemporary art song to jazz. How do you go about choosing what you want to sing? Does it have to move you? Does it have to make you feel good in some way?
It has to make me feel. It doesn't necessarily have to make me feel good, but it has to. I usually know within the first 5 seconds of hearing a song that I want to sing it. And that's based on just that I have an immediate sort of visceral reaction to a song. And I know that, oh, this is it. I got to do this for whatever reason, whether it's the story, the lyrics, the harmonic language, the progression of certain chords, the melody, but it hits me very quickly. So I've always trusted my gut.
Well, finally, you've accomplished so much in your career. Are there still things that you'd like to do?
I'm always looking for the next challenge. I always... I'm going to do my first Eugene O'Neill play this summer, which is very exciting. I'm going to do Moons and the Misbegotten. I'm going to play opposite my husband in that. So that's very exciting. I recently did a film and where I got to shoot a couple of scenes with Meryl Streep, and that was exciting and a challenge something that I never thought I'd live to say that I did. So I'm always looking for something that's going to challenge me and make me grow as an artist.
Well, Audra McDonald, I know you have to rest your voice, but I want to thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you so much. It was nice to speak with you.
That's six-time Tony Award-winning singer and actress Audra McDonald. She's performing in Brookings on Monday in a concert presented by Woodbine Productions. That concert begins at 7:30 in the SDSU Performing Arts Center. For tickets, you can call the SDSU Music Department. And that's just about it for this edition of Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Thanks to all of our guests on today's show. Stephen Swemke is the producer. We had assistance from Owen DeYoung. Coming up tomorrow, we'll discuss a recent study about the increasing risk of drought in the West and Central U.S. with climate field specialist Laura Edwards. Plus, we'll discuss the latest in state politics with the Dakota political junkies Seth Tupper and Denise Ross. That's tomorrow at noon Central, 11 Mountain, right here on SDPB Radio. I'm Carl Gerke. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. Here and Now is coming up next. But before then, here's a little bit more music from Audra McDonald.
To trust you'll find